Good morning, Cornerstone. Hey, welcome to Cornerstone today. It's good to be back. I missed the service last week, and a few of us were out at camp, and we were in upstate New York for the week. We all had a great week. I was in the woods all by myself. I wasn't all by myself. I was with somebody, but just me and Jesus. We had a great time in the woods, and the kids had a great time at camp. And so thank you for affording us that time to be away, and hopefully everything went well last Sunday and during the week. But we are together now, and we're kind of at a pivot spot in between one series and another. We just finished a series called Holy, just looking at the holiness of God and how great and mighty and wonderful He is. And now we're switching gears to looking at the gentleness of God. Not just of Jesus, but the gentleness of God. And I think that's really important. And as I was in the woods, I met the gentleness of God as He came and interacted with my heart. And hopefully, as you consider both the holiness and gentleness of God, that He will interact with your heart today as we sing these songs and as we open up God's Word. So just kind of get your heart ready and say, okay, God, I want to know more about your gentleness towards me. Because, man, we need that. So would you rise to your feet and sing with me, His mercy is more. How is He merciful to us?
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins they are many, His mercy is more. What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. It's stronger. It's new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. evermore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Amen. Let's thank him for that. God, we thank you so much for your mercy, your holiness, and your mercy, and your kindness to us. God, just help us to step into that today, to step into your mercy, to step into your kindness, and to experience what we need of your mercy today, because it's specific. It's not just a big blanket over the world. It's specific mercy for me, for my needs, for my burden. So come to us and be near to us and encourage each person's heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to sing a song. It's been a little while, but this is really relevant to what we're talking about today. It's called No Longer Slaves. So I hope you can just really enjoy the fact that you're a child of God. I hope you are a child of God. Not everybody is. You need to receive Christ. So if you're not there, that you can get there today. But if you are there, many of you are, that you'll just enjoy the fact that you're a child of God.
You unravel me with a melody, you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. Have been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Think about that.
I'm no I'm no longer a slave to fear. to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Is this true for you?
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
You don't have to be.
I am a child of God. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
God, as your children, you know exactly where each one of us is right now. Whether we can really sing that confidently or just sing it as a cry, please take me there. Take me to that place where I'm confident in my place with you, where I know I'm your child and it's gonna be okay. So God, take us wherever we are right now and lift us up, pull us up. You know what we need. You know each person's heart. You know each person's specific struggles and needs. And so God, as we come together today, I pray that we be encouraged, encouraged in your word, encouraged in the words of Jesus to us. So God, thank you for the kids who are here, for the children, the young people, and the way that you are building your church and just continuing with what you began generations ago, God. Thank you for each successive generation, how you share your good news with the next generation of children who grow up to be adults and grow up to be followers of you and bold and proclaim your truth. So, God, here we are this morning, this Sunday, in the whole spectrum of the calendar as it's gone for thousands of years. We're here in this moment. And God, take this moment, these few minutes together, and do something profound in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is good to sing these songs, guys. We're going to sing some more later. But for now, we have a question of the day. Love for you to answer this to someone near you. And you might not know everybody here, so introduce yourself. But the question of the day today is, how do you rest? I just got a whole week of rest with God in the woods. Some of you, I talk about going to the woods and spending, just disappearing into the woods and being in a lean-to and there's no bathrooms and no running water. And you're like, that doesn't sound like rest to me. So your idea of rest might be different from mine. So how do you rest? Share that with somebody near you. And kids, third grade and under, are welcome to head downstairs for Children's Church and the nursery.
All right, bring it in. It's good to hear all the chatter. It's good to hear all the conversations going on. Some of you, I don't know, how many of you rest through, like, pets help you to rest? Some people are really close to their pets, and that's a big deal. I don't know if anybody said, like, my animal really helps me rest. I love animals. I always have. We don't have any animal. Well, we haven't had any animals in our house for a long time. We're not a pet family. Never had a cat, a dog, no snakes, rabbits, birds. I did when I was a kid, but we don't now. But a few years ago, we decided to say yes to a few goldfish. We really took the plunge. Provided the kids take care of them. It's kind of one of those parent things like, are you going to take care of it? Yeah, we're going to take care of it. Yeah, right, sure you are. So we're like, no, you got to take care of these fish, and you got to pay for these fish. So that was the deal. Set up a 10-gallon tank. We got 3 goldfish. 2 of them died by the second day. And that's when we realized when we fixed up the tank, we used the wrong kind of caulk. So we poisoned our fish. We killed them, unfortunately. But one of them was rugged. His name was Flick. He didn't die. So we realized what happened. We took him out of the tank to repair it, to do it right, put him in a little bucket on the girl's dresser in their bedroom. And so we had to sit in that bucket for a little bit because it takes some time for the caulk to set and all that. Well, apparently he didn't like the bucket because on his second day in the bucket, he decided to see if he could fly. And it turns out he could. There's a couple problems with that. There's no water where he landed. Just basically, I did the math, the equivalent of a 100-foot fall to a scratchy carpet below. It was rough. Number two problem, nobody saw it happen. So Flick is learning to fly. He lands on the carpet. Nobody knows. he's got zero chance of flopping himself back into that there bucket. It's not happening. Turns out, in his mind, he realized that bucket was better than I thought. Fortunately, I didn't get permission, so I'll say one of my daughters happened to go up to a room soon after Flick's experiment, but she didn't notice him right away. He's suffocating there on the carpet. She doesn't see until she feels his slippery scales underneath her bare foot. Screaming, she runs downstairs in a panic. She immediately runs back upstairs, scoops Flip up, Flick up, and puts him back in the water. And guess what? He survived that too. Flick lived happily in the repaired tank for several years after that terrifying day. Never did attempt to fly again, perhaps because of the lid we put over the tank from that day on. Why in the world am I telling that story? I believe Flick's condition on the carpet is a lot like our condition when Jesus calls to us to come to him. Matthew chapter 11. This is the passage we're going to be in today. Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These are words from Jesus that we need. Every single person needs these words. How is our condition like Flick's? Until we come to Jesus, here's how I see it, and my mind is kind of tweaked, so maybe you're not going to understand this or see the way I see it, but really, until we come to Jesus, we're trying to survive outside of the environment we were made for. What's the environment that we were made for? Union with Christ. That's the air hose for life that we need. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are suffocating in the world and don't have what you need. I will give it to you. Fish don't last so long out of the water. People don't do so well disconnected from God. We need Jesus like a fish needs water. A lot of people don't get that, and they don't understand why they struggle so much. I shared earlier, we're just coming off this five-week study on the holiness of God, right? And if you were here, we looked at the splendor, the majesty, the greatness of God. He's so far beyond us, so far beyond our even comprehension. We can't comprehend how great God is. He's absolutely perfect, absolutely pure, without flaw, superior to us in every way. And this holy, mighty, awesome God put skin on and moved into a little village called Nazareth. They called his name Jesus. What's God going to act like as a person? A holy God. I mean, shouldn't he just start zapping people? Unholy, 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 unholy. Make the earth open up a few times here and there. Drop, drop, drop. Is that how the holy God acted when he put skin on and came into our world? Philippians tells us, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, you might have some idea of what it means to humble yourself. We have no clue the depth of humbling that it took for God to go to that point, to die on a cross for us. That is the ultimate humbling. Jesus didn't cling to his deity. He didn't demand worship. He certainly had the right. He released everything that was due him and made himself low, unrecognized by most. In that same chapter in Philippians, Jesus is described as loving, tender, compassionate. Philippians 2. In our passage today, Matthew, Jesus describes himself as gentle and humble in heart. And that's such a contrast from the high, exalted, holy God we just finished studying But it is just as important. These two core attributes of God we find throughout the entire Bible, his holiness and his gentleness. This is really important that we grasp them both. As much as God is holy, he's gentle toward us, eager to show compassion, kindness, and we desperately need that from him. I found that from him going out into the woods this past week. I found a gentle God, just as holy, but he was gentle with me. And I'll share a little bit about that in a minute. But today, this is our second five-week study of God. Two summer series, the holiness of God, the gentleness of God. This is called Gentle. And 5 weeks, we're going to focus in the gentleness of God. I think this is going to be a refreshing balance to our last study. I mean, we looked at Isaiah. He was undone in the presence of God. How about Uzzah? He was struck down when he profaned the ark of God with his fingerprints. The earth opened its mouth under Korah and his family because he did not respect the authority God had put over him. God is holy. Don't mess with God. Today we turn the page and gaze into the kind heart of God. A kindness extended to all who come to him, to all who believe. Nobody needs to be incinerated in God's holy presence. It's not necessary. God offers gentle kindness to any who come to him. So the words we read from Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, this is the foundation of this five-week series, this passage. We're not going to spend 5 weeks studying this passage. We're going to bounce off of this, but this is the foundation. Jesus comes in gentleness. He offers freedom from our burdens and rest from our exhaustion. This is the foundation passage in the book recommendation of this series also, Gentle and Lowly, the Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. So I'm not going to be preaching out of that book, but you might want to get a copy of that and slowly work your way through it over the summer and fall. It's so good. I'm on my third time through it right now. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These words from Jesus are like oxygen to a suffocating soul. And sometimes we'll read it and be like, I want that, but I'm not sure how to breathe that in. How do I get that? I love that offer. And so I just want to slow down with this passage today, and the approach I want to take is just to look one word at a time at this invitation. And hopefully, I think if you put your mouth to the hose, you'll find that each word we look at is kind of like a shot of oxygen to the soul. That's sometimes a good way to do Bible study, just look at a word at a time and think about, okay, what does this mean? What is this telling me? So let's do that. Matthew 11. 28. Come. Come. It's an invitation. Will you come to Jesus? Before we come, we're just like Flick. We're flopping on a carpet. Maybe you feel that. I am flopping on a carpet right now. Maybe you get that. We're not made to navigate life without Jesus, without his intimate presence, without his being right there. We need him. And that's not a sign of weakness any more than it's a sign of weakness for Flick. Come on, Flick, get up. No, it's not a sign of weakness at all. He is oxygen to our soul. Think about, some of you are runners, some of you run. I tried to think about, how far could you run on a single breath? You take one big gulp of air. I mean, my family and some of you guys do this too. You drive through tunnels, you try to hold your breath all the way to the end, right? You're just sitting there. How about running? I don't know why there's not more accidents in tunnels, because how many people do that, right? Blackout. Psh. Anyway, running. How far can you run on a breath? Do you think you can make 100 yards? I got to know here, 150 yards? You can run a bit. I mean, we've got oxygen in there and it's working. How far can you? How about attempting a 5K? One breath, buddy. One breath. 5K. Go. How far do you think that runner would get? Not very far. Come. Come to me. We need to breathe. We need to breathe. Let's not try to do life without Jesus. That's like trying to run a 5K on a single breath. We need him all the time. That's not weakness. It's oxygen. So he says, come. Come to me. To me. It's important where you go to get your spiritual oxygen. We don't want to go to the helium tank. We don't want to go underwater. There's a lot of different places, a lot of different offers out there to come. Come to me, come to me. Where are you going to go for your breath? None of the offers out there give us what we need like Jesus does. We've got to come to him. That's important. And then he says, come to me all. This is beautiful. The invitation is universal. Nobody's excluded from this invitation. All who come are welcome. And you think about society today, there are a lot of different kinds of people today. And sometimes the church has trouble. I don't know if this offers for you. This offers for everybody. Come to me. Your baggage doesn't disqualify you. Your brokenness doesn't repulse God. It's actually the opposite. That's a beautiful thing I saw reading through Gentle and Lowly, the book. It is the opposite. Look at who the invitation is extended to. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. If you've got baggage, if you've got brokenness, you are especially qualified for Jesus' invitation. You know you need it. So, I'll ask you, are you weary? Are you weary? What's got you weary today? Flick was getting weary, laying on that carpet, flopping with all his might, making no progress. He was weary by the time one of my daughters felt his scales. And then he got burdened. We get weary with life, right? Maybe you're weary today, maybe you're not weary today. Life can be exhausting, right? Life can be physically exhausting for the single mom trying to provide for her kids, working two jobs, wishing more than anything she could just be a mom. Right? That's weary. That's hard. Life can be emotionally exhausting for the teenager trying to survive the social pressures at school. Is somebody going to sit next to me at lunch today? Can anybody see me? Does anybody care? Like, some of you are there. Some of you remember. Jesus sees you and invites you, come to me. He calls you by name. He knows you by name. Come to me. You want a place to belong? Come to me. Come to me. What's slowing you down? Come to me. What is wearying you? Jesus says, come, all you who are weary and burdened. You want this passage to come alive. You want to suck from the oxygen hose. You got to get specific. What is wearying you? And the second question, what is burdening you? Are you feeling burdened? Is there a burden? Carrying a load that's just too heavy for you, and you've been carrying it for a long time. Maybe feeling the burden of somebody's foot pressing you down. Sometimes the burden is somebody else and things that they're doing or not doing or expectations or, you know, you got people in your life that create burdens. There are all kinds of different burdens that we carry. And I can't get in the mind of a fish, but I don't have to guess to know Flick did not appreciate that foot squashing him into the carpet. I'm absolutely sure he didn't like it. I don't know how much fish think and feel and know. He didn't like that. What's your burden? We can't usually see the burdens, right? Flick's burden was very tangible. Some of the burdens we carry are intangible and much, much heavier. We carry emotional burdens. It's things from the past that nobody else can see, and it's crushing us. And as a pastor, I know some of the burdens that you carry. We've talked about some of them. I don't know them all. Some of them are pretty heavy. Jesus' invitation, he's like, here, let me take it. Let me take your burden. I have something else for you, but you can't take it unless you empty your load. Give it to me. And going into the context of this, when Jesus spoke these words in this moment, one of the burdens Jesus would specifically have been alluding to was the oppressive burden of religious legalism. That's one of the burdens that would have been in their minds. Because there were religious leaders in that day that just pressed the people down with these heavy burdens. You must do this. You must not do that. This is what you got to do. This is the set of rules that you must follow in order to please God. And if you don't, it was impossible. This code of conduct that they were burdened with, nobody could get it just right. Jesus wants to free them. Because, number one, following that code that they developed was impossible. Nobody could do it. And number two, even if they could, it wouldn't get them any closer to God. And I'm not sure if things have changed all that much. If you think obedience to some code can make you a child of God, you are deceived. That's not what makes a person a child of God. That's not how it works in any situation, in any family. Obedience doesn't make you a child. None of my kids earned their name over time. It doesn't work that way. They didn't have to prove their worth to get in. You want to be a hurling? All right, let's see how you do. Taking applications. And these four made it. No, they were born. They were born. That's how you get into God's family too, right? We got to be born into it. That happens a slightly different way. It happens by faith, right? But not by working for it. We come to him in faith. He adopts us into his family and we become his. I am a child of God. Not I hope I've done enough right to be a child of God. That's ridiculous. No, I come to him. I want to be adopted. He says, I adopt you. You're mine, period. That's it. And it's in that position that Jesus gives us rest. And some of us know that, but we don't know that. Right? Yeah, I'm a child of God, but have I really embraced that? Am I experiencing the rest that comes from that? Rest. Imagine what Flick felt when he was put back into the water again. That's rest. I'm home. I can breathe. He might have had a few kinks to work out. Might have had a sore back for a while. I don't know. Do fish have backs? Yeah, they do. But water is his environment of rest. Jesus is ours. I can breathe knowing I don't have to earn God's favor. It's been given to me. I have it because I'm his child. I don't have to be afraid. I am his. And when I'm accepted and loved by God, I can handle a whole lot the world throws at me. I can handle a whole lot of pressure because I'm his. No longer a slave of fear. I'm a child of God. I don't have to control things. God does. I can rest. So what does rest mean anyway? It doesn't mean vacation. I love vacation. Some of you know that. That's not what we're talking about. There's work yet to be done because he tells us, come to me and rest and take my yoke. Rest and yoke are brought together. What is this? Because when I think of a yoke, I don't think of rest. I think of work. So there's work yet to be done. But it's satisfying work. It's not anxious work. It's not. Oh, is it going to work? Is it going to work out? Are things going to be okay? It's not. I don't have to be afraid about it. The results of the work are in God's hands, not mine. So let's talk about the yoke for a minute. What's this yoke idea? It I mean, I find if you're reading this, thinking about the passage, right after talking about rest, to talk about yoke immediately is kind of strange. If you don't know what a yoke is, I will explain it. But he invites us to take his yoke upon us and learn from him. So what does that have to do with rest? I'm going to read a quote from the NET Bible that I use as I study, but I thought this was worded well. A yoke is a wooden bar or frame that joins two animals, like oxen or horses, so they can pull a wagon, a plow, etc., together. Here, it's used figuratively of the restrictions that a teacher or rabbi would place on his followers. Interesting. This is the yoke. So, that's a picture of it. If you haven't seen a yoke before, we're not as much of a farming community as we have been in the past. So, this is a yoke. So, here's the reality. You and I are under a yoke, no matter what. Everybody's got a yoke on. You can bear your own yoke all by yourself. Carry it yourself. Lug it around. Take it where you want. Jesus' offer is not just, here, why don't you put this yoke on? You've been free. Now let me put you in bondage. Like, no, you've got a yoke that's too much. I want to give you a different yoke. I got a double here, and I want you to come under this one with me. It's going to be better, I promise. But we got to exchange whether the yoke is religious legalism or whatever burden you're carrying. Take Jesus' yoke upon you. The beauty of this is that Jesus is already under his side of the yoke. He's pulling. He's ready. He's ready to go. And when we see that, when we realize that I'm coming under this yoke, the load doesn't feel as impossible to bear as it would otherwise. I'm not pulling alone anymore. And I mean, I'm trying to think of modern day examples. I mean, I've never worked with a yoke before. I don't work with yokes. Anybody work with a yoke? Saddle up some oxen to plow your yard? Maybe they spin the blades on your lawnmower and they can mow the grass. We don't use yokes. So here's an example for me that I thought about. I'm into winter sports. I love sledding with my kids. And for me, a good winter is when there's snow on the ground from December to March. That's a good winter. Some of you are like, you crazy. No, that's how I feel. I love snow. So when the kids were younger, we had this plastic toboggan that was about six feet long. It was a beast. Three of us, four of us probably could ride in it, no problem. So we'd have a blast on that thing. And occasionally, one of my older girls, when they're younger, 5, 6 years old, one of the two older girls I'm thinking of, they would want to pull the sled up the hill by themselves. And even though the sled is empty, if a hill is steep and it's covered with snow and ice, it's still kind of a burden for a child to lug up the hill. Feet start slipping and you just lose balance and all that. So pulling a sled up a hill for a six-year-old by themselves is hard. But if I'm pulling the sled with them, they feel like they're doing it. They're not. And we get right up the hill. This is what we're looking at. This is the yoke that's easy, the burden that's light. This is the offer. So one aspect of this yoke analogy is that taking Jesus' yoke upon you is to do the work God has for you to do with Jesus pulling next to you. Jesus is pulling next to you. You're side by side, making the job a lot more manageable. But the other angle related to what I read to you earlier is also allowing Jesus to provide the direction. He's going to direct me as I walk with him under this yoke. This is a submission. I'm submitting to his yoke, his work, his way, with his help, his timing, all of it. You are the one charting the course. You're the one leading up the hill, listening to his guidelines, listening to his wisdom. I went out in the woods. Every morning I spent some time in Proverbs and Psalms. And in the early chapters of Proverbs, it's, you want wisdom? You learn the fear of the Lord. You come to me and I will give you wisdom and understanding. And I started the week that way. I want wisdom and understanding. I want to know you, God. And I came up under his yoke, and throughout the week, he unfolded some wisdom and some understanding for me that I needed. He provides the direction. He guides us. He gives strength. He shows us which way to go. We're both pulling, but man, it's a whole lot easier when he's by my side. But we have to be pulling the same direction. Two animals can be under a yoke pulling different directions, trying to pull different directions. That's just a broken scenario. So Jesus' yoke keeps us together. We're going the same direction. We're in submission to him. He decides the direction we go. And that's what makes the burden easier, because we're going the same way. If my daughter's pulling a sled up the hill and I'm holding with her and she wants to go that way and I want to go this way, that's going to be actually worse than her pulling up by herself. We have to go the same direction together. So are you weary? Are you burdened? What kind of burden? We're all humans, so we all carry burdens. Maybe nobody knows yours. Somebody does. But do you have a burden that you need some help with, that you're trying to carry on your own? Something that's weighing you down, exhausting you mentally, emotionally? I do. And I didn't plan to share this until yesterday. I was thinking through my week in the woods and this passage, and I really wasn't thinking about this passage much at all this past week. Some people are like, well, you're going to the woods, you can prepare your sermon for Sunday. That's not what I go to the woods for. So I did that last week. I prepared this message last week, but I was looking over it this week, and I realized, okay, there's a way that you really did this in me. So I'm in the woods, Adirondack Mountains, a place I love to go. I'm hiking, I'm camping, I'm spending time with God, and I always bring a bunch of books along. I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm in a lean-to, and other people might have to share a lean-to. I got this stack of books, like, what are you doing with all those books? Why you drag them out here? I mean, miles into the woods. So I kind of try to hide them and keep them buried. But I have all these books, and this year, one of the books I brought along was specific for me, for my heart, my soul, about a struggle that I still have with this sin that I just can't seem to shake. Okay, so I'm a pastor, but I'm also still a sinner. I'm a saint saved by God's grace, but I still sin. So I have this, and so I got a hold of this book, and I was like, I wanna go after this. I didn't have to do as much sermon planning because we're going through the Old Testament next year, right? And starting the fall. So I didn't have to do a lot of that. Like, you know what? I'm going to just, you and me, show me something here. There's a battle in my mind that no matter how hard I try, it just won't go away. So I'm like, I want to go after this. And I've talked to people and some are like, yeah, that battle's never going to go away. I'm like, okay. But I don't accept that because God wants to work in us and take us further, right? And so I bring this book along as part of my time with God, and he starts to open my eyes to see beneath the surface of my sin, my struggle. And something I realized as I was processing, I read several chapters in this book, and I started, okay, I needed to just stop reading, start thinking about what's going on in my heart. And just a realization that came to me is this, more often than not, sin is when I choose to go the wrong source for relief for my burdens. More often than not, and you can think about the sins you struggle with, and maybe this applies, maybe it does not, but it, at least for me and mine, sin is choosing to go to the wrong source for relief from my burden. The sin and the burden are not the same thing. They're different things, and I started to see that. And just a couple simple examples. I eat way too much ice cream because I'm stressed out. Right? How in the world is this empty already? Or maybe slightly more serious, I indulge in lustful fantasy because I want to feel a certain way that I'm not feeling in the real world. Or I spread negative news about somebody because I want to feel better about myself. Have you ever watched Jerry Springer? Oh man, oh man. You watch that show, you feel so good about yourself, right? Wow, I'm not messed up like that. Don't watch Jerry Springer. So I started thinking about how that idea, sometimes I choose to go to the wrong source for relief from my burdens. How is that playing into my struggle? And I realized I have a deeper burden that's triggering my sinful pattern. I'm going for relief from this burden over here, and I started to realize this is the burden that's underneath the sin that I'm dealing with. And as I thought more about it, I could see that it's not really working. It's just what I keep doing. A lot of the time, sin is when I go to the wrong source for relief from my burden. The burden doesn't go away, so I just go for more, and I think more and more. Maybe this time. But I've got to take my burden to another source. There's a better source, and that's this invitation. Come to me with your burden. And sometimes we can't even see it. We don't know what the burden is. We see the surface thing. This is what I struggle with. This is what I know is wrong. I shouldn't be doing. But there's a burden over here that I need to be aware of. That's affecting this over here. Because when I realize, oh, this is what I've got to work on over here, take it to a better source, then my need for that other thing kind of starts to dissolve. I don't know if that makes any sense. I'm not being specific. I want to be general because you might have something similar going on. It's not the same as me. Taking his yoke upon you, learning from him, following that path. It's one thing for me and Abby to pull a sled up a hill together. That's kind of no big deal. Abby knows me. She trusts me. She's not really into sledding, but that's okay. It's just an illustration. But it's really not a big deal to do something like that, pull a sled up a hill. It's another thing altogether for somebody to trust Jesus, who they can't even see, with their heaviest burden, that most difficult and painful thing in their life, because that's risky. I mean, how do I know it's even going to work? This is what Jesus is asking us to do. You come to me with your burden. He's talking about the deep stuff, the painful stuff. How in the world do I know he's not going to drop it? How do I know I can trust him with this? He's not going to fail me if I give him this burden, if I release it. How do I know the sled's not just going to go sailing all the way back down to the bottom of the hill? Well, that's happened a lot of times. It's a lot of work to go back down there. How do I know I can trust Jesus with my burden? Well, the next word is gentle. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He's not looking to blast us. I knew you'd had that problem. I knew you struggle with that. That's not how he comes to us. That's not how he presents himself when we come to him. The holy God who became human is gentle. He reaches out in his hand and says, trust me, I'm not going to hurt you. I can handle this. One of our biggest hurdles in our spiritual journey is deciding whether or not we can trust God with the things that matter most. A couple years back, I was watching a fisherman on Lake Erie accidentally hooked into a goose in the wing with his lure. Fishing lures have treble hooks. They don't come out. So this goose was going nuts. It was flapping, squawking. It was way out there. I mean, his line was like almost all the way out probably. He's trying to, the goose is trying to shake the lure, but it's deep in the flesh. And it is going nowhere. So this fisherman, I mean, he feels terrible. And he's trying to gently bring the bird in so he could release it. But the goose has no way of knowing the intentions of the fisherman. Never been caught before, doesn't know what this guy's going to do, so he keeps fighting. And I'm watching this thing for like 15 minutes. It's just heartbreaking to see. This is just not the way it's supposed to go. So finally, he had to give up. He had to cut the line. He had to cut the line, release the goose. The goose flies away with a lure in its wing and 50 feet of line dragging behind. I don't know what happened to that goose. I don't know if it survived, but I'm pretty sure that flight south was a lot harder. With a lure in the wing. You might have a lure stuck in your wing. Jesus can be trusted with your burden. He became one of us so he could show us he is trustworthy. He is gentle. He's humble in heart. You think about this theme, this idea of God's gentleness. Read the Gospels. Watch Jesus' gentleness come out with the woman at the well. With Zacchaeus, the despised tax collector. How did Jesus behave with him? And how about with Peter when he denied him? Thomas when he doubted him? How did Jesus respond to these people? Dane Ortlund in his book, Gentle and Lowly, puts it this way. The posture most natural to Jesus is not a pointed finger, but open arms. And his greatest display of humility and gentleness was when he allowed his enemies to nail his arms in that very position. This is gentle. God did that. How can that be? When we come to Jesus, we really come to Jesus honestly, we find rest for our souls. I found some real rest in that realization about my burden. We can breathe again. The crushing burdens are lifted. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's easy, he says. The word easy means it's fit. It's fit for use. It's useful, good, manageable. It's appropriate. It fits me well. This yoke fits me. Jesus doesn't remove our burdens. He doesn't change the kaleidoscope in front of you. He doesn't take it away. He carries it with us. He makes it bearable. He takes us through. There's still work to do. The burden I carry, it's not gone. It's not gone. There's still weight to it. There's still work. But I'm coming under the yoke of Jesus, and the yoke fits. It's good. It's right. It's going to be okay. Together we can carry this, and you know what? I'm not doing 50% of the work, not even close. Sometimes we take Jesus' yoke. Yeah, I want to do this. I want to take his yoke. And then we pull in a different direction. We're going to go this way, Jesus. There's nothing easy or light about that. Part of what makes the yoke easy, the burden light, is our submission to Jesus. He decides where we're going with his burden. He decides how quickly we're going to make progress. Jesus calls the shots, not me. I got to trust him. He's gentle. He's humble in heart. He's kind. He has nothing but good intentions for me. So we stop struggling against him. Let him lead. The yoke he offers is a yoke of kindness. One last quote from the book, Gentle and Lowly. Taking this yoke, it's like telling a drowning man he must put on the burden of a life preserver, only to hear him shout back, sputtering, "No way, not me. This is hard enough drowning here in these stormy waters. Last thing I need is the added burden of a life preserver around my body." And that's what we're all like, confessing Christ with our lips, but generally avoiding deep fellowship with him out of a muted understanding of his heart. That's where we want to go with this. We want to understand his heart. It's gentle. We can trust him. So are you feeling weary, burdened in any kind of way? Maybe you feel a lot like Flick right now. Worn out. Doesn't feel like even your best efforts are making any progress at all. And you may have been following Jesus for a long, long time. Approaching him for the very first time. But this invitation is for you. Bring your burden to Jesus. And I know some of you are thinking, I already did that. Bring it again. Bring it again. Bring yourself to him in all your exhaustion, all your trouble, all your confusion, anxiety, sadness, your stress. Bring it. Jesus' offer is real, and it is for you. If you want to get specific about this, I mean, you can do this on your own. You can talk to a friend. If you want to talk to me more about it and how it worked for me in the woods this past week, like, I don't mind talking about it. I'll talk in detail if you want. But we got to do this. You can't just have an air hose out here and get benefit from it. You got to stick it in your mouth. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Let's figure out what that means. Let's take that air hose and stick it in our mouth and receive this invitation. For your next step with God, I just want to invite you to do that. that very thing. Just bring him your weariness, bring him your burden, whatever it is that's kind of back there. Maybe you weren't thinking about it coming in today, but it's still back there. Just bring it to him. I'm just going to give you a minute to do that. Pray together.
God, I just ask that you will penetrate the walls that we build around our hearts to protect ourselves from further pain. God, that you'll break through that, that we will give you our burdens, that we'll share them with you, take your yoke, and believe that you're good, and that you'll be gentle with us and kind. God, some of us we're just right there, we're ready. We're laying it out there. We know our burden and we're giving it to you right now. Others, we got a wall. And God, I just ask that you'll break down the wall. And that we will willingly allow that and help break down the wall. Because that's in our heart. So Lord, help us to be soft, to receive your invitation. And I pray that you will be good to show yourself faithful. That you can be trustworthy. With it. You are trustworthy. And we can walk with you side by side down the road into the future. Thank you for your goodness, your incredible offer. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Take us there. Take us there today, God. Take us there into the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold your eyes to your feet and sing with us.
Love, I don't understand, I can't comprehend.
grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Grace, I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, found a friend, so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 and again and again. Oh, 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 and again and again.
Where we are.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
just us. All the earth. All the earth will shout.
We'll shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Again.
All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Your greatness. We cry out your greatness in our brokenness, in our weakness. God, you know where we are. You accept us where you are. You bring us near. And then you take us somewhere. God, take us somewhere new. Take us somewhere different. Take us down the path where we need to go. Thank you for showing us your truth and your grace. And all of your holiness, you're gentle. God, we love you. We haven't crafted you to be what we want you to be. We know you as you are. You've revealed yourself to us. God, thank you for being good, gracious and gentle in all of your holiness, justice, and splendor. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to worship with you guys. We weren't just singing, were we? We were worshiping. That's good. Shannon, come on up. You guys can have a seat.
Good morning, I'm Shannon. I have a few announcements for you. If you have a praise or a prayer request and you'd like to share it, you can do so by filling out this thing that's connected to your bulletin. And if you just want to let us know you're here today, that's a good way to do it. We have the intro to Cornerstone class is actually starting for real today. There's been a couple delays, so that is actually happening today, 10:30, following the service. If you're in that, you probably know that you're in that. Also, I announced this last week, but we have a youth event happening on July 13th. There's going to be an opportunity to serve during the day and in the evening. So if you're interested in being a part of that, you can talk to P-Nate. Last week, I also had mentioned the family camping trip, the family church camping trip that's happening to Watkins Glen in New York. Last week I checked, I think there was 4 or 5 camping sites in the whole campground available for the days we're going to be there. I don't know what it looks like today, but if you're not signed up and you want to come camping at the same time as other families in the church, you should check that out sooner than later. July 27th through the 30th is when people are going. Praising today that everybody from camp came back safely. Looks like we need a nap this afternoon, I'm not going to lie. But you all survived and had a good time, I think. So happy to hear that, and happy you also made it out of the woods alive. All right, if you'd like to stick around, there's snacks and fellowship downstairs, and have a great day.